I just deleted all my notes.
Oh.
But apparently they just told me that recently deleted. Great. All right, there it is. I was like, why did I just delete all my notes? All right, here we go.
Hi, Elise Castle.
Hey, Mike Jensen.
We are here today to discuss the ick factor.
The ick factor. Did you know that there was a Friends episode in 1995 called the one about the one where they talk about the ick factor or something?
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah, I only know it because when I Googled ick factor IMDb, that comes up a lot.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, I have a lot of fun trivia for this episode.
Okay.
And I don't even watch it with commentary.
Yeah, there's no commentary, so I only know, you know, what I know.
But hold on. Melanie reached out to say that the reason that Aiden's baby is so happy is because that's actually Sarah Jessica Parker's baby. And Mike told me he did mention that on the podcast, but we just are not like 100% sure because MBK didn't verify it.
Yeah, I mentioned it and then cut it out because it didn't actually air on the podcast. It's a piece of trivia that I've read, but that is an MPK commentary episode, and he doesn't say it. And that feels weird to me that he wouldn't be, oh, and that's Sarah Jessica Parker's baby. So I it's sort of an unfair, unverified rumor, unless someone like read it in People Magazine or something like that.
So this article from InStyle from 6 days ago, I'll post it on our Facebook. It's Aiden's getting dad shamed for the way he's carrying Tate, because apparently he should not be like facing out at that age. Tate should be facing in. That's it. But I can't find anything about that actually being Sarah Jessica Parker's baby. So if anyone knows or has like a solid reference.
I would need like Sarah Jessica Parker to tell me, basically.
Or People Magazine.
Sure.
Yeah, a verified source is what I mean.
So yeah, I had read that trivia. I don't mean to dismiss it. I didn't include it because I thought it was weird that then he didn't mention it.
But we did find out that Tate's not being held secretly.
Yeah, I've seen that before, and other celebrities have been shamed for carrying their baby that way. So this originally debuted January 11th, 2004. This is directed by Wendy Stansler. And the cool thing about her is that this is her first ever directing credit.
Wow.
It's the only episode that she directed for Sex and the City, but she was a twice Emmy-nominated editor before this. So this was her transition from being an editor to a director, which I think is really cool.
Really cool.
And usually we save opinions till the end, but I'm going to say she did a great job.
Yeah.
I love this episode. It's not all about the directing. It also has to do with the writing by Julie Rottenberg and Alisa Zaritsky. Did I say her name right?
Every single time.
We usually save till the end. I love this episode so much. It's a really good one, in my opinion. We start out with, in autumn, New Yorkers treat every nice day like it could be the last. And that does sort of feel like right now.
Yeah, except it was 90 degrees yesterday.
It was 92 degrees yesterday.
And today it's like
55.
Yeah, and like cold and rainy.
Very New York.
But that is true. Like, and I feel that's not even just New Yorkers now. I feel like with the pumpkin spice, we are in the era of pumpkin spice. So there's a lot of boots and leggings and girls loving sweaters and fall times and cider. And I can be guilty of some of that too.
Yeah. I mean, I love the fall. To me, this has more to do with like
letting go of.
Yeah, exactly. I hate summer.
So yeah, we are at Pete's Tavern. Yeah. I have some trivia about Pete's Tavern.
Okay.
So Pete's Tavern opened in 1864. It is actually the longest continuously operating bar in New York City.
Wow. Where is it?
It is Irving Place.
Yeah, I can like 18th picture
Street.
It. Yeah,
there you go. So it is the only bar to remain legally open during Prohibition.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they had like a secret enter through the flower shop entrance there. Also, it is famous because O. Henry wrote The Gift of the Magi there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's still there. We should definitely go.
Cool. Yeah. So we kind
but
of...
More importantly, Miranda and Steve are outside having some beers, and Miranda looks great.
She does. She looks great for this whole episode.
Yeah.
Oh, she looks so good.
I don't know if she's just like really like in Steve land.
Or like Cynthia Nixon was just like, I'm going to look good for this last season. Yeah, we kind of cut from a friendly
Not
Steve.
Not that she ever looked bad.
No, she always looked great,
you
but she just looks
Cynthia Nixon shame
specifically
on this
amazing in this season.
Right.
I'd have another if you would. What do you say?
You're a bad influence.
We cut from a friendly Steve Miranda to an angry old couple.
Yeah.
This just reminds me of every old couple I ever see in the airport.
I waited and waited.
You sent to meet you at the subway?
I was at the subway. I was at the foot of the stairs.
You was at the subway? You was in the subway.
Oh, you don't know how to give directions.
Or just, yeah. Yes, every old couple in New York City for the most part.
Where I'm like, maybe you don't want to grow old with someone.
But, I mean, that's a long time to be with someone. It's a very long time. There's gonna be issues.
Yeah, Miranda doesn't want to become that.
I mean, look at us. We've only been doing this for 2 years.
Shut up, Elise.
Oh, sorry. Just oh, sorry. I said on the platform.
You were waiting in the subway.
And I do, for the record, I didn't write down the information, but this is that actor's first acting credit. He only has like three. So
okay,
he,
well, she has a ton.
She has a lot of credits. Yeah.
I don't want to become that.
Okay, I don't want you to worry about becoming that.
Yeah, what, and then kind of gets in like, to what else don't we want? And they start listing off all the things that they don't want to do.
Miranda loves it.
This is fun.
I don't want to lose you again. Even if I screw up all the other stuff, that's the one that matters.
Yeah, and then she pops the question.
I don't want to lose you. And will you marry me?
Just hell sort of yeah. happens. Yeah, hell yeah. And it's kind of a, I mean, it's great because it's a remarkable, it's an unremarkable, remarkable moment.
Yeah. And would you think that they would propose, plan the whole wedding, and have a wedding in one episode on Sex and the City?
Never.
They do.
So we cut to a piano.
Vomtown Alexander.
Yeah, Al is playing. They're 80 blocks and a world away.
I was enjoying a different kind of happy hour at Alexander Petrovsky's.
That's pretty. What is that?
She doesn't want to leave her bowl of berries behind. Yeah, he's writing a tune and it has a very long name. And then he tries to ruin raspberries for me. And of course she gets schmutz on her lip because Carrie can never just eat something.
Yeah, yeah. Just like a messy, gross kiss always. Like that's just Carrie. She always just has to be covered in food.
And I like that we immediately get, before we're even in the scene, we just get Miranda saying this, that is the cheesiest thing I've ever heard. Yeah.
I love the dynamic of the ladies here where they are, Charlotte is so into it, Miranda's not. And yeah. Samantha's kind of on the fence now. The other thing about this that you may not know, Mike, but there is a GIF and Instagram sticker of Carrie that gets used all the time, and it's from this scene. Because I immediately recognized her outfit. It's where she does this when she finds out. I'm blinking really loudly. It's when she finds out about Miranda getting engaged. But yeah. It's, yeah.
So Charlotte thinks it sounds very 18th century Russian, which is kind of the problem.
Yes, and I live in New York City circa now.
Yeah, it
That's
does.
Sort of the issue.
Samantha has intense fish earrings.
I wrote that too.
We are just starved for real romance, and that is the sad truth. I'm not starved.
Charlotte says they're starved for romance, and Samantha and her fish earrings disagree.
Yeah. Charlotte loves the romance. You know, it's this idea of it, but then it comes up like, are we expressing artificial emotion?
Right. And this is where we get to the name.
You know the song that he wrote for me?
Yeah. Ick.
Well, it had a name. La femme avec les yeux lumineux.
The woman with eyes that sparkle.
Mm-hmm.
And what's French for ick, which is kind of a stupid line, but I guess it's also kind of funny. And then Miranda lets the news. I wrote Miranda lets the big news out of the bag. I might be mixing my metaphors there.
The big news. I think like the cat out of the bag is what you were going for.
I can't stand all that artificial hoo-ha. That's why I proposed to Steve over $3 beers.
You proposed? You proposed marriage?
Okay, everybody, stop.
And she makes it very clear that this is not going to be a typical wedding experience.
No.
I'm not doing the big circus wedding. There will be no white dress or bridesmaids or posed pictures. I hate all that shit.
And in this moment, she inadvertently says something very romantic.
It's just gonna be a simple nothing thing. I don't even care about the wedding. I just want to be with Steve.
Yeah.
And it's funny how, like, in her cynicism, this is the first of more than one time that she's going to then stumble upon something where I'm like, well, that's actually really romantic.
Yeah.
Like, sort of the best reason to want to marry someone is you just want to be with them.
Yeah, she says, I hate all that shit. And I love Charlotte's response with, that's your choice. Every bride has her own style. Yeah. Like, just very.
And then all the ladies start to cry and Miranda's out of there.
Yeah, Samantha, I expected more from
it's
you.
It's really good.
But I love this. We start to see that Samantha is breaking down, which I think started in last week's episode.
I think so, too.
With Smith carrying her home.
Yeah. So we're at Tasty D with Charlotte and Harry.
We always are.
I know, but I like that he calls it whipped flavored air because that is exactly what it is.
Although my phone autocorrected to Whipple flavored air. real butter pecan. Have we talked about this before that I think butter pecan ice cream is exclusively for old people?
It's the best ice cream. It's the best ice cream.
Harry used to play clarinet when he was little.
Oh,
I did too.
He
says that.
You still play clarinet.
Not very well.
Harry's a little defensive about being romantic.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like something out of a Victorian novel. People just don't do those things anymore.
Hey, I can be romantic too, you know.
Oh, honey, I know you can.
And then he says he's going to take her out. It's a pretty short scene.
That's nice.
Yeah. And we cut to Miranda and Steve walking down Greenwich Avenue.
Yep, the bagel buffet in the back,
yeah,
which is still there.
And I think you can see the old papaya that's not there anymore.
Mm-hmm. And you can see the street signs that say Greenwich and Christopher.
He suggests a boat.
And how much did they buy at Duane Reade?
They have a lot of Duane Reade.
I mean, there's some Bed Bath & Beyond mixed in there, too.
Yeah, I mean, the logistics don't make any sense.
The fact that they're all the way down there, yeah. She lives on the Upper West Side to go to a Duane Reade and a Bed Bath & Beyond.
Yeah, like, they went a bit out of their way.
What about one of those boat rides that goes all around the island? That's different.
We're not boat people. When have we ever been on a boat together? Ever.
And then I said, bags explode and Steve gets stuck with gum on his shoe.
And he can't move.
Yeah, and then Miranda looks to the right.
Hey! That's a nice garden.
And it's the Jefferson Market Garden. And we can talk about that now, or we can talk more about it when we're actually in it later.
Sure, we can talk about it now.
Well, it's fascinating. I mean, okay. that structure in the background that's now the Jefferson Market Library. Yeah, it was formerly a courthouse and a prison, and then eventually a women's prison. And I could say so much more about it, but honestly, if you have a moment, just like look up the Jefferson Market Library, because it has a fascinating history. And like in 1885, it was voted the fifth most beautiful building in the United States or something like that. But it's had
Was it on BuzzFeed?
It probably, yeah, in the 1885 version of BuzzFeed, that's where you would find that particular survey. Anyway, it's a sort of a fascinating building. Yeah, so we get to Charlotte, Samantha, and Carrie. I said, I guess they're wedding gift shopping?
Yeah, but this does not look like a place where you would buy a wedding gift for Miranda at no, all. So at don't all. Get mad at Charlotte for picking up the most practical wedding gift yeah. in the store.
And it's sort of like the idea, like, there's no need for a guest book. There are going to be, like, eight of them there.
Yeah, and I love Charlotte. Well, just buy her a stapler and wrap it around paper and smear dog poop on it. Yeah. I'm giving that gift to Mike at some point.
Perfect.
Fine, we'll get the dish.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And then Samantha has an announcement, and they're not going to like it.
No, she wants bigger boobs.
Well, first she compliments her whole body.
My legs are fantastic. I have killer abs. My ass is perfection.
Is this the part we're not going to like?
Which I do also really like. Yeah, and then announces that she's thinking of getting a boob job.
Yeah.
And did she get an In Touch magazine? Is that what
yeah,
we're looking
at? Yeah, she has an In Touch magazine because Smith is in a lot of it.
There are my boobs on Wednesday. See how small they are? There they are again on Thursday. Teeny tiny. Oh. And there they are having lunch. You can barely see them.
And then Samantha looks over at the girls and she's like, I like yours.
Yeah, Samantha
I like
wants
yours.
To get Carrie's boobs.
So I had this thought in my head. I'm like, Samantha is like the Ursula, but for boobs in that voice. She's looking at her friend. She's like, you'll have your boobs. Your pretty face.
Yours are good.
Mine?
Mm.
Thank you.
What's wrong with mine?
Well, they're not bad either. Let's see. Okay, all right. Get hers.
It's pretty funny.
And then Alexander is reading Joseph Brodsky poetry.
Yeah, I wrote, Carrie is at Al's on a rainy day and he's reading poetry and I would jump out that window.
Yeah, it's just boring.
Like, who wants to sit there and have someone read poetry?
Probably a lot of people.
Probably a lot of people, not me.
So long had life together been, that once the snow began to fall, it seemed unending. That least a flake should make her eyelids wince. I chilled them with my hand, and they, pretending not to believe the cherishing of eyes, would beat against my palm. Like butterflies.
And so Carrie decides to read him some of her favorite poetry.
Which is just out of vogue.
Yeah, and she reads about Oscar de la Renta, and of course he's a friend of Al's.
Yeah, name dropping.
Yeah.
Oscar's a good friend of mine. I'll tell him you like the dress.
Oscar? You call him Oscar?
It's his name, isn't it?
And she sort of says, you know, like, she writes a column based on the idea that romance is either dead or phony. Which brings him to, like, am I phony? And I'm like, shut up.
You mean no other man, no one ever read you a little poem or play a little music for you?
No, they have not.
So Carrie's washing her under things in the sink, and Miranda is wedding dress shopping on her lunch break.
And there's a lot of montage of sliding the bras.
I know, I wrote that. I said we have a cool edit moment.
I don't think I have
enough
bras.
Good job, first-time director Wendy.
I don't think it's an act. I think he actually means it.
That doesn't make it okay. Has he considered your feelings?
You're right. He's a selfish pig.
And we have one of my all-time favorite lines.
I said no white, no ivory, no nothing that says virgin. I have a child. The jig is up.
It's so good. I love that line. It's amazing. And then sort of like, has he considered your feelings? Like, Miranda's very, you know, defensive is the wrong word, but is almost offended by Al being romantic.
You would be that way, though. If I was like, Mike, he's reading me poetry.
I would just be like, do you enjoy that? I don't know. I don't know how. I'd probably be like, he's a loser.
Also, did Miranda tell the lady I want a wedding dress? Like, she should have just said, I need a dress for a special occasion.
I'm going to a friend's wedding.
Right. Or I'm getting married, but I don't want a wedding dress.
Yeah, she's not. This woman is not doing a very good job of getting stuff.
Well, Miranda might have not done a good job of articulating what she wanted.
And then Carrie sort of asked, like, if Miranda is so anti-romance, why is she even having a wedding? And I wrote, Miranda has another very romantic answer.
Why not just go down to City Hall and get it over with?
You know, I thought about that. But then I realized I actually do want to say those vows out loud to Steve in front of the people I care about.
Which, once again, out of this, like, sort of cynical, non-romantic place, to me, this is love. Like, this is the reason to get married.
But Carrie still wants her to promise that she will still be cynical.
You are my cynical touchstone. Do you promise to still be cynical even after you're married?
I do.
And suddenly a giant pile of tutus is coming at her and they have to have a talk.
Mm-hmm.
And there you go. Yeah, she has not fully explained what she's looking for, I think. Mm-mm. So one of the great things about living in New York City is that you don't have to sugarcoat your feelings.
But have New York women settled for a sugar-free existence as well?
And we have a lot of talk about sugar and artificial sweeteners, which we're sort of talking about.
Like a gentleman's sweater. Where did it come from, Carrie? But who knows? An Argyle sweater. Probably Structure is where it actually came from, but whose is it?
Maybe she stopped by Structure.
Maybe she did. Express Men. For those of you born after 2000.
Did Structure become Express Men?
Yeah.
Okay. And then we have the question.
Have we become romance intolerant?
I think it depends on, I don't know. I think that it depends on what you mean by the word romance. Like, there's a line at some point in this where, like, the most romantic thing that someone did was give me their seat on the subway, which I don't particularly find romantic, but I think that what it is that New Yorkers are more practical in some ways, and certainly not all. I know that there are plenty of New Yorkers that love to get, you know, dressed up and go dancing or go to the opera or do the quote unquote romantic things. You know, I would much rather get nachos and then walk by the river for a while. I
think everyone does that a lot, Mike. Right?
We're very romantic.
Are you
trying
to romance me?
I just think that romance is different for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily think I would be with a person who wants to. I mean, the opera could be fun. But who wants to, like, dance? I'm not a dancer.
Right. Yeah.
That's why I haven't done Cats.
So that's why.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think romance is just different for everybody.
Yeah.
And I think that New Yorkers are probably a little bit more cynical. So we probably look at these kind of moments.
And also it's 2019 and Al is trying to romance someone via 1842.
Yeah. So we cut to Harry ordering French food.
Foie gras, which is not nice. I think they're banning New York, or they may have already done so. Also, fun fact about this waiter, Jean Brassard. He is an actor who's done a lot of stuff, but he was a WWE/WWF, World Wrestling Federation, French commentator for many years.
Oh, interesting.
So in the 90s, yeah. And I only found this because when I was looking at his IMDb, it came up, one of his credits was WrestleMania. And I was like, is he a wrestler? And then I got in this wormhole where, yeah, he was a French commentator for many, many years.
I guess these are also the same menus that the girls ordered off of in the first episode of season 6 when they're at the meatpacking district. They're those sort of like paper menus with flowers on them.
Oh, at Raw.
I don't think they were at Raw. I think it was when they were at... I don't know if we actually decided they were at Florent or if they were, like, next door to
it. Oh, okay.
Et enfin, the plat du fromage.
The plate or the cart? We have a lovely cheese cart.
They're getting a cheese cart, which sounds amazing.
Yeah,
that's
full
all.
Cart.
I'll take a cart. And now we're off to boob research, and these guys are fucking gross.
Yeah, they're really weird.
And there's lots of ADR, and a lot of it's done really, really well, but those two guys aren't making any of the sounds that we're hearing.
Okay, that's my wife right there.
But also, it's kind of like a gross scene in general.
Right.
Just like all the girls walking down. How did they tell them? Yours are going to be the small boob. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we have little boobs, big boobs, all the way to the two biggest boobs of all, which are the guys. Time's up, fellas.
Yeah, it's just no thank you, but you know,
we
whatever.
We pan over to the bartender who either has the most beautiful natural breasts Samantha has ever seen.
Or I need the name of the doctor. You want Dr. Bevel. He's the best.
They paid for themselves in tips alone.
One time, a very drunk man was asking me to do math for him because he couldn't sign his check. And he wasn't even, like, the person I was waiting on. And I helped him. And then
I like the idea that you were out to eat as well.
Yeah. And I helped him. And then he looked at me up and down and said, thanks, you're very breasty. Which I am not. I am a 36B-ish. Like, barely B.
You're very breasty.
And I was wearing a button-down shirt that had no cleavage showing. Like,
interesting.
Yeah, that's how I knew he was drunk.
So I wrote that Samantha arrives at Al's, but she doesn't.
No.
Carrie arrives at Al's, and he's very dressed up.
Yep.
I'm sorry, is this a formal sleepover?
And they are going to see La Traviata at the Met.
Man, I was this close to throwing on my ball gown, but I ignored my instincts. All right, I'll go home and change.
No, it would be much faster.
Yeah, there's a box on the table, and it's the dress.
Yeah, she's going to run home and change, but she doesn't have to. She's just going to take off that short-sleeve shirling coat that's probably helping a lot in the cold weather and put on that dress. But I was thinking, what about the shoes? What about the, you know, the makeup?
He probably had it all there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The stylist come over.
Well, she always wears the shoes anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So the shoes she probably was already wearing.
Right.
And I wrote, this is actually kind of crazy in a not bad way, I guess. Like, I guess that's kind of amazing that she's like, this dress is beautiful. And he's able to call up Oscar de la Renta and be like, I don't know.
I mean, that happens a lot in TV shows where people open up these huge boxes and it's an outfit for them that magically fits them perfectly.
Right. Carrie's probably sample size.
Yeah, I just can't imagine anyone I've ever dated or date to say, like, know what size to get me an outfit.
Absolutely not.
If I had been on a romance-free diet, this seemed like a good time to binge.
We cut to Harry and Charlotte in bed and stomachs are starting to gurgle.
Yep.
Pardon me? It was weird.
They got the poops.
Yeah, we hear that it was 7 courses, and they revisit all 7 courses.
It was the effing fromage.
Yeah, Harry has to go do something about something.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, Charlotte starts to gurgle as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they had romance shooting out of them every 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Mike had that once. You need to stop, because this has got to go.
Yeah, that was a bad day at work. I went home that day. Charlotte has to go to the previously used by Harry bathroom, and then soon Harry joins. And I guess this is the stuff
how does
of
that
lasting
happen,
love.
Though?
I'm like, no, get to the other bathroom. I don't care what it takes.
I know, but like, was one of them pooping in the sink?
Who knows? Yeah. I say just stay in separate bathrooms, but that's me. So we're now at Lincoln Center, and a funny thing happens. Oh, that's not that funny.
Well, I mean, I think they were doing like a funny thing happens on the way at the forum, but where'd she get that coat? Did he buy that too? I don't know. Did she really faint in this moment?
I don't think so. Yeah, they stop to dance and Carrie passes out.
In a very glamorous fashion.
Yeah, and he catches... Yeah, it's very faint for TV. I do love Lincoln Center, for the record. Mm-hmm. We've been there before, but they're actually... I guess that they're almost to where the Met would be. It's almost like they're going to the theater instead, which is what we sort of see in the background.
She's like, I want to see My Fair Lady.
Yeah.
It's not
you
playing
can't.
Anymore.
It closed. Now it's The Great Society. That's what's playing at the Vivian Beaumont at the moment. So then they're at McDonald's, and they don't really order anything you would supersize.
And then a quarter of a pounder with cheese, McNuggets.
Would you like to supersize that?
Can you handle it?
Absolutely.
Maybe she meant, like, do you want the meal? So about the McDonald's cashier.
Yeah.
That is Io Tillett Wright.
Yes.
And Io Tillett Wright recently just put out a podcast that I listened to called The Ballad of Billy Balls.
Huh.
And I didn't realize this again until I was watching, or I went to IMDb and I was like, Io Tillett Wright. Yeah. And he put out a podcast, and it's all about Io was born and raised in New York City, and Io's mother always talked about, like, the love of her life, this punk rock guy, Billy Balls. And Io, throughout this podcast, tries to find out what happened to Billy Balls. It's really, really interesting.
Hmm. So I guess they didn't go to the opera. She offers them a fry, and they're French. And they start dancing at the counter, and I guess there's no one waiting in line, so it's fine.
Yeah, and their food was $9.54, which seems like a good deal.
Sure.
Because McDonald's now is expensive.
And I wrote, this feels like it should be the last scene, almost.
Mm-hmm. I thought like it was going to.
Yeah, like that feels like it's the end of the episode. Yeah. But the most important stuff hasn't happened yet.
Nope.
Because now we cut to Samantha getting her exam.
I'm
an event in 2 months that I'd really like to have a little cleavage for. Will they be up and running by then?
Ms. Jones, you have a lump I'd like you to have checked out before we begin our work.
Yeah, he just wants her to have it looked at.
Nothing big.
But it's not serious, right?
Well, it's probably just a cyst, but we want to be absolutely sure. I'd like you to have it looked at as soon as possible, okay?
And now it's Miranda's wedding day, and who knows how long it's been.
Right.
Maybe
but
it's
Carrie's got
day,
her wedding hair on.
A week, yeah.
That's what Carrie likes to wear to a wedding.
And Samantha's come all the way up to get her, which doesn't really make any sense, especially because the cab is at like at $3 or something like that. But it's fine. Neither here nor there. And Samantha pretty quickly gets to the point.
Yeah.
She has cancer.
Well, I had a biopsy on Wednesday, and I found out yesterday. I'm going to give you all the information, and I don't want you to get upset or start worrying. And the only reason I'm telling you now and not later is I didn't want to accidentally blurt out I have cancer in the middle of Miranda's wedding. Could you please take Fifth? Broadway's a disaster.
And there's literally no reason you would take Broadway, but I guess that's besides the point. And Samantha asked Carrie not to tell Miranda or Charlotte, and they're going to take the fucker out next week.
Well, thank you for telling me. Sure. I'm sorry to put a big cloud over the whole day. I know I'm going to be fine. I know that. It's just... I don't want to lose my breasts. They're fabulous.
I'm trying to remember when I first watched this episode. Because it does feel like a bit of a left turn for Sex and the City. I mean, I guess we've dealt with cancer before. But I remember being kind of like, wait, what's happening? Like, this feels very serious.
I mean, maybe at this point, too, they were... thinking, like, you know, we want bigger things to happen to these characters. Like, yeah. You know, cancer does affect women, and breast cancer affects women. And maybe, you know, there's four women together.
Yeah. So we're back at the Jefferson Market Garden and the Jefferson Market Library. And Miranda looks great in a very not wedding dress that totally works for her.
Mm-hmm.
And Carrie and Samantha have a little moment.
Where they grab each other's hands. Ma and Magda.
I wrote Magda and Ma also have a moment.
Yeah. At first I was like, is it just the girls, Ma and Magda?
Well, I took a picture of the wedding party.
Okay. Like the people that, like literally the wedding party.
Yeah. And that's everyone that's there. So I don't know who the two gentlemen on the side with the girls are.
We have Harry, Charlotte, Samantha.
But like, who are these guys?
Yeah, there's two guys in the back. They're like they look like they're bodyguards.
A little bit. And then you have Magda and Ma. That must be the brother, because we mentioned a brother later.
Right.
Maybe a sister and her daughter.
Yeah, I don't know. It's maybe a great aunt.
Maybe.
I'm sure Steve would have more family because he's from Queens or Brooklyn. Right. Queens. Brooklyn.
Still not that many people. And then I like that Magda leads the applause.
Yeah. It's happy time.
It's happy time. Come on.
Well, Magda's like Mrs. Potts. Come on. She's happy about this. I'm happy about this. I was at home just cheering. It just makes me so happy, you know?
Oh, good. I'm glad you're happy.
Yeah.
And now we're at Jefferson.
Which is closed.
Yeah, it's a restaurant that does not exist anymore.
It was on West 10th.
The one wedding ritual Miranda never had a problem with was the part where everyone eats. And so we did.
Samantha, you look so pretty today.
Thanks, I have cancer.
And Samantha does not keep that secret for long. And Carrie, the waiter comes over and asks if they want more drinks, and Carrie answers in a way that anyone who's not a waiter might think is funny, but really isn't.
Are you all okay with drinks?
No, we're not okay with drinks. Keep them coming.
Cool.
And I'm like, yeah, he'll just, when your drink is empty, he'll bring you another one. Whatever.
And Ma comes over to Miranda.
And they have quite the conversation.
I love it where Ma's like talking about how she respects Miranda's choice to not keep it a secret. She has a baby. How would you keep it a
secret? Baby.
And I love Ma.
Listen, we're family now, and there's something private I want to tell you.
Oh, you don't have to.
And I wrote, Miranda doesn't really want to hear things or meet people.
Yeah.
Today, I married Steve's father. I wore white.
I was wearing a white dress on the outside, but I had little Jackie on the inside. Yeah.
And she doesn't handle it well.
No.
She's not smooth at all. She's like, Steve?
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of like beelines it for the girls.
Oh my God, I am legally bound to Steve's mother.
Hi,
congratulations.
And asks why they're being weird, and Samantha tells her that she'll tell her tomorrow, and Miranda insists.
Well, I don't want to ruin your special day. Forget about my special fucking day and be normal, please. I beg of you.
I have breast cancer.
What?
See?
Now it's my special fucking day.
Yeah, and Samantha gets to lob back, you know.
Hey, no tears. Miranda, I expected more from you.
Charlotte says this is why they didn't want and tells her to go back to her people. And yeah, that I do love that moment of...
You are my people and we'll talk about it now. Now start at the beginning.
You are the bossiest bride in the world.
Yes, I am. And you have to do everything I say.
And then I think maybe we have some improv.
Yeah.
And I feel like Samantha just says like, remember how I wanted big boobs?
Do you remember when I wanted... For better or for worse.
Yeah, and then it like starts to fade away. And I like that she's like, from the beginning, but I mean, the really, remember how I wanted big boobs? I tried to get them and I have cancer.
And that's the end of the story.
Yeah.
And for better or for worse, we were all ourselves that day.
Just the way Miranda wanted it.
And there you go, the ick factor. It's a really good, I mean, you know, there are moments that kind of are like, what? But overall, it's
like,
what?
It's a good episode, yeah. I couldn't help but wonder.
I couldn't help but wonder if Carrie really fainted in that scene.
Mm.
Feels like a bit much, Carrie. I wasn't enjoying the dancing either, but, you know.
I couldn't help but wonder if it really was the fromage. It could have been the foie gras.
It could have been. That's punishment been all those, for yeah. eating it. Yeah. Poor, sad, overstuffed geese. Isn't that what it is?
Duck.
Duck.
Oh, duck or goose. Foie gras is a specialty food goose. That products made in the liver of a duck or a goose. Bye.
Bye.
You can visit us at wecouldn'thelpbutwonder.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Instagram, all at wecouldn'thelpbutwonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation, and Twitter at WCHBWpodcast. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at MikeJensen77. Special thanks to Patrick Hines. Make sure you check out theaterpodcastproductions.com to see all the work that he does. We would love it if you would share this podcast with someone. Put a link on Facebook or tell a friend. Take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review. And don't forget to change your settings to play in sequential order. Join us next week for Catch 38.
Carrie, once again, had a previous man do this to her.
Who read poetry before?
Season... There was the guy who wrote his own poetry.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah.
Was that Carrie? Did you say Carrie or Samantha?
I said Carrie, but was it Samantha?
I think it was Samantha,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of men are reading people poetry. No one has ever read me poetry.
Count yourself lucky.
And I wash my bras every week, but I just don't... I don't know. Should I be having more bras? Is that why I'm single?
That's probably exactly why you're single.
Shit. One time I had a very drunk man, I was asking him.
Me too.
Oh God. Okay. Did you ever see that movie Sing?
I did not.
Okay. Well, it's these animals singing karaoke and there's this one.
So it's a documentary you're saying.
Yeah, it's a documentary about, all the farm animals at the karaoke competition. And there's this sheep that sings Kiss from a Rose. But it's a sheep. So it's like, baby! And it gets caught off guard. And I just rewind it and watch it over and over again. And you can't make fun of me because you've been watching that effing video of that rat jumping off a door frame.
I can't stop.
Yeah.
It's my favorite thing that I've ever seen.
Yeah. Are geese and duck the same thing? No. They're not.
They're probably like in the same species or something.
Hold on, we're looking this up because we're going to sound real stupid.
They're both birds.
Yeah. They're both fowls.
You're fowl.